Ephesians chapter 3. Take your songbooks there. Find your Bible, Ephesians 3. Thank you very much. Let's begin reading verse number 7. Verse 7. Stand if you would please. Let's read verse 7 together. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace, verse 7, of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles in the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men to see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now, verse number 10, unto principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose. That's everybody ought to be concerned about, the eternal purpose God has for you, which he has purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access to confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not in my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Would you read verse 14 with me, everyone together, please? For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15 says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Could you read with me verse 20 and 21, everyone? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Amen. Father, thank you very much for the chance to be here as we have been entrusted of you to start another school year. This is your college. It's not ours. It's your church. It's your pulpit. It's your buildings. It's your people. It's your gospel. It's your son that paid for our sin. It's your command that we're trying to play out and to do. And I thank you, Lord, for entrusting us with some of the finest young people on the planet. Help us, we pray, as we start another school year. May you be glorified, and may you help us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We have several moms and dads and families and pastors that are here. And if you'll just bear with me for a second, I shared this morning earlier to the student body. I'm really blessed to be a part of this college. We got lots of things to improve in this college. When I speak about the school, I say our biggest room on the campus is not this room. It's the room for improvement. There's a lot of things we need to make better. God's been very good to us, miraculously so. He's helped us greatly. And, of course, God used Brother Hiles to come to this place. Our church is 135 years old. It's the First Baptist Church of Ham, and it was started in the conference room of the Morton House Hotel with 12 people. And a pastor and his wife, Mr. Allen Hill and his wife, who just came and rented a home here, gathered souls that they had led to Christ in their home from August until November, then rented a hotel conference room, and they signed the charter of First Baptist Church. We've had so many great pastors through that time. But in 1959, God brought Brother Jack Hiles to this region. He came here, and he was a soul winner. God had captured his heart, and he wanted to win others to the Lord Jesus, and he took the gospel to the streets of Chicago. He knew God wanted him to be here when he drove from Chicago down Sibley Avenue through Harvey and all the city streets, and he just thought of all the people that he saw, and he got a burden to bring the gospel to this area. He had done very effective work at Garland, Texas, the Middle Road Baptist Church at the time. The Lord brought him here, and 13 years later, after being asked to travel the country and go different places and to hear people say they needed workers, churches needed song leaders, they needed assistant pastors, communities needed a pastor, needed a pastor's wife that would stand with them. They needed soul winners that knew how to take the gospel and share with others how to be saved. It burdened his heart. He'd heard Lee Robertson say that the most difficult thing he had ever done, the most effective and fruitful thing he'd ever done, was start Tennessee Temple University. He had already preached there several times, and he had seen the mass of people that he could preach to, and they would go off into the regions beyond and preach the gospel, and it burdened him. He had a special burden for America at the time. He wanted to see every town have a place that would reach boys like he was, with a drunkard dad and a single mom trying to raise him. Burdened his heart, and one night in Pomona, California, after not being able to sleep through the night, he walked along a service road when he knew that God had confirmed in his heart to start a place like this. He did not necessarily know that it would be on this property. He didn't know what it would look like, no doubt. But he knew that there would be people, young men and precious young ladies, the world around, who would need a place to train. And 2 weeks later, he asked Russell Anderson. Of course, Dr. Hiles will be 96 if he were still alive on September the 25th. He passed away in 2021, the age of 74, 75. But Brother Russell Anderson is still alive, and he lives in a retirement community and assisted living home up in Ypsilanti, Michigan. But he asked Brother Russell Anderson to come and meet him in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I spoke with Brother Anderson just the other day, and he confirmed everything I'm telling you. But Brother Anderson was a businessman. He did a trucking company. He purchased housing. He had just now built 135 apartments and that he was going to use. Brother Hiles asked him to meet him out in Albuquerque. He flew out there, and he was with him for the day on Monday night. Tuesday, they got done speaking in the morning. He asked him to go with him to a mall, and they walked around a mall in Albuquerque, and there he shared his burden to reach people with the gospel of Christ, and doing it was starting a Bible college. He told about how he had been places. They need a pastor, they need a leader, they need a pastor's wife, they need a Sunday school teacher, they need a Christian school teacher, they need someone that would love them. And it really burdened Brother Howell's heart, and he shared that burden to Brother Anderson. He said, I believe God's given me the influence to start a college. We have a strong church. I've been here 13 years at First Baptist Hammond at the time. He said, but I don't have the money, and I don't know if you'd be willing to help me. Brother Anderson always had some money, but at this time he was not, his cash flow was low. But he went to the bank and he said, I've just built 135 apartments, and they're bringing money in. I'm able to make plenty of money to pay off my loan. But I'd like to borrow, I think it was $1.3 million, may have been $1.5, because I want to help a Bible college get started. The bank gave him the money, and he brought it to Brother Hiles, and they started building on what now is our Hammond Baptist Schools. And that's where Hiles Anderson started there. 1974, the Lord let us get this place, which was a monastery for the Catholic monks. And the Lord brought us here. And 13 years later, I had the joy to come as a student, and many of our staff and faculty, unbelievable servants of Christ, have come to this place. And they're here because they love God. And we have a college because of students. We feel so honored that you're here. At our church, at First Baptist Church of Hammond, we pray many times for the lost to be saved, for world leaders to allow the gospel to get to their place, and that God would send laborers into his harvest. That makes each of you an answer to our prayer. You're here, you're a student, you may be a young lady, you might be a young man, you might be 17, you might be 23, you might be 36, but you're an answer to prayer. Most of you, God has already drawn your heart here. Some might be here because you don't know what else to do, and this is just a logical thing. It's what you thought about doing, and you don't know what God wants you to do, but whenever someone asks you, you just say, I just want to do what the Lord wants me to do, and that brought you to here. It's kind of why I came. I had no idea what I would do with my life. I just knew that I'd surrender myself to serve the Lord, and the lines had drawn me to come to Hiles Anderson, and my dad influenced me to do it, and I'm so grateful I did. You're here, and you're an answer to prayer. But the reason you're here is because there's a world out there that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. The main thing that God puts the scriptures here is so that the world may know that there's a God that loves them. When David picked up the rocks there by the brook, five of them, and he stood before Goliath, he had been challenged by his brother. Is there not a cause? What is the reason for you getting out of here? And he said, brother, isn't there a cause? Oh, go back and watch those little sheep. Go do something else with your life. And he asked him, isn't there a cause? And he told what the cause was when he picked up those rocks and he stood before a man that was twice his size, no doubt. He was a weathered warrior, and David, a young man from the shepherd fields. But before he put that rock in there, he said, here's why I stand here to fight this giant. Here's why I'm in the battle, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. Whatever's in your mind and why the Lord brought you to here, there's a lot of things going on. I did not understand this when I showed up on campus in 1985. I didn't know. I just was terrified. I had $675 to hand to somebody when I got here. It was about all my life savings. It was my first payment of my... Don't you wish it was that cheap now, right? It was a lot then for me. I never had that much money in one pocket my whole life, and I just like... Who do I hand this to? And Miss Piper saying, give it to me. I found out who to give it to, and then I got my dorm key and moved in over here. I didn't understand all that what God wanted to do in my life. It was just one day after another day, I got ushered to a bus route. And I spent the afternoon and the day visiting with my friend Everett. He showed me a little bit of the things. And Brother Jim, my bus captain, asked me to do some things, and he said, tomorrow we're going to get on the bus, and I want you to lead a song deep and wide. Lead that song. Okay, I'll do it. I knew that song since I was a little kid, so it was easy for me. He said, lady workers, you're going to get assigned. You're going to teach a Bible verse. We got on that bus, and boy, I didn't know all that happened on Saturday, but one by one, kids started getting on that bus, and families, and mamas, and everything went just like, and boy, Brother Jim got up and started banging on the roof and yelling and hollering, and God, everybody said, we're on the best bus in the whole world. And I was like, yeah, yes, we are. And then he said, Brother John. I stood up, hit my head on the roof. And like, oh, yeah. And get up there and sang deep and wide. And I started week by week kind of catching on to the regiment, catching on to that. Never been so tired in all my life. I never one time thought about taking a nap before I came to Isles Henderson College. And then I couldn't sleep enough. I started going to the bus routes. I started doing night bus. I started sweeping buses and doing things and helping and then taking classes. And I was overwhelmed, started working at my job. A lot of things to do. But I did all of that, not knowing exactly all that God was going to do in my life and my buddies that slept here in the same dorms, that went to the same classes. Didn't know all that God was doing in my sweet ladies that went to school with at the same time with them. But all of us who understood God's purpose is that we are an answer to prayer to somebody who needed us to be there. Somebody needed me to sit in their living room and show them how to be saved. Someone needed me to teach their class so they could. This week I've seen five of my kids that I taught my first year of teaching, fifth grade. Some of them put their kids in our Christian school this week, and she said to me, her name is McGallie. She said, Pastor, I should call you Brother John, Mr. Wilkerson. She still calls him Mr. Wilkerson. I'm her pastor, but she calls him Mr. Wilkerson. She said, I was so broken when I came to the fifth grade class. And he said, it was my best year of my education. Now, she didn't learn much, but I learned a lot that year. But she said, you had a way that you encouraged me. When bad things were happening at my house, bad things were going on with me and my sisters. When I went to school for that 7 to 8 hours every day, I had a place where I knew I was safe and I was loved and I was cared about and you cared about me. I want to put my kids in a school that will do the same thing for them. Thought about that, just thinking about, I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't know that we'd have the opportunity to share the gospel with people. But quite frankly, I'm not all that, but everybody, this college is founded because of a prayer request. that someone in the world needs to hear you tell them how to be saved. I shook the hand with a man this morning at 6:15. And just recently I sat behind in the back of his house on a picnic table and opened the Bible. He had a big cigar that he had there sitting on the table. But he had a Michelob Light that was there. I said, you know, John, I want to tell you how to be saved. He said, I think I'm ready. I took the Bible and showed him from the Bible how he could be saved. At the end, I said, what do you think about that? He said, I think I need to be saved. He got saved. I learned how to do that right here in this room. I learned how to do that right down the stairs in that classroom. And it's something that stayed with me all my whole life. You're an answer to prayer. But may I say to you, there's a prayer that's being prayed, not only for you to do that, but there's a prayer that's being prayed. And Apostle Paul's kind of telling a little bit of his story. He said, I'm the least of all the apostles. He goes, of all the saints, I'm on the bottom totem pole, is what he felt like. He said, but there's a reason we're here, and it's a mystery. Most of the world does not know how to get to heaven from here. And the reason you're here is so that that can be illuminated in their hearts and lives. Wherever you go. But there was a prayer that Paul prayed. And he says, this is the reason I bow my knees to the God of heaven and earth, of whom the whole family, heaven and earth, is named. He kind of gives us insight in what he prayed for those that he loved. And I do not know what your mama and your dad are praying for you about. I don't know what your pastor is praying for you about. I don't know exactly what your youth pastor is praying for you about. But if they followed Paul's model, they prayed for three things. Let's look at it real quickly. I'll share them with you and we'll be dismissed. Chapter 3, and we're looking now at verse number 14. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you look, verse 16, he tells what he starts to pray. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Young people, our heart's desire is that you will be strong on the inside. That you will be tough. This is not an easy place to go to college. You didn't come to the easiest place you go to college. Because you not only have some academics and some schedule, you have a weekend situation. You will not be sitting in the dorms at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning eating Fruit Loops and doing your laundry. Yeah, it's just not what we do here. No one's here. It's a ghost town on Saturday morning. We're somewhere in the trenches talking to someone about Christ. We're taking a gospel track and sharing it with somebody. We've got a New Testament in our back pocket, young men. You got a New Testament in your purse, girls, and you're ready to take and hopefully get a chance to share with one person at least the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not an easy place to go to school. In addition to that, you get satanic opposition. And he says, the first thing I pray for you about is the prayer that I'm praying for you, and I hope that many of our loved ones are praying for you, is number one, you'll be strong by God's might and his Spirit in the inner man. You know why? Because it takes inner man strength to stay. If you're going to stay faithful, doing the right thing, the right way, for the right reason, for a whole lifetime, you're going to have strength bigger than you are, bigger than I am. You're going to have an inner man strength that is strengthened by God's Spirit, by his eternal riches. You have to have strength to soul win. You have to have strength to study. You have to have strength to be steadfast. You have to have strength to endure trials and disappointments and heartaches. Even in leadership, sometimes our leaders are disappointing to us because of what they do or what they don't do. You know what helps somebody? Everybody has excuses why they quit. And people good at excuses aren't usually good at anything else. You don't serve Christ because of pastors or leaders. You serve Christ because of Christ. And he is that saying that yesterday, today, and forever that was shared with us right away today. Wonderful truth. But he said, I'm praying, first of all, that you'd be strengthened with God's might in the inner man. Some of you've got quit on your mind. You've already got exits planned. And some of you are your returning students, and you're just not in a good way right now. It's been a difficult summer, and it hasn't been very banner. There's been some things happen, some situations take place, where it's not really good to be you right now, and what you need is a renewed relationship with the Spirit of God. You need to be strengthened with God's might in the inner man. Number two, he says, I pray that Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith. One thing that's definitely needed in all of our lives, and the difference between the Apostle Paul and you and I, the guy was unbelievable, but his life was about Jesus. It was about Christ. You've heard me say it, for me to live is, that's what Paul said, to die is gain. He said, I am crucified with Christ. He said, when Christ, who's my life, not his hobby, his interest, or his sideshow, it was Christ with him. Now, Christ is here today. He's in heaven. His spirit is inside of you if you're saved. But sometimes he's not real to us. Paul prayed, number one, that the first thing would be we'd be strong in the inner man. Number two, that Christ would dwell in our life by faith. That our faith would be deepened in the person of Jesus. I talked to a man this morning, and he's got some adversaries that are ruffling his feathers, and even one of them has threatened to hurt him physically. And it's because of his passion for the Lord. There's some wisdom he probably needs to put into play, but he loves Christ. He said, I don't know if I need to stay. I said, you know, I don't know what you need to do. But I remember this statement in Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, for consider him. Who's him there? Jesus. Who endured such contradiction of sinners. The word contradiction of sinners means sinners who hurt him against all logic. It didn't even make sense. Why would they hate him so bad? What would possess them to punch him in the face and just crucify him so brutally? What did he do so wrong? When they went to stone him, he said, oh, before you stone me, what works did I do that you're going to stone me? Not because of works you did, but because you make yourself God. What makes them do it? He said, if you don't consider Jesus, you're weary and faint where? In your mind. Young person, someone's praying for you to be strong in the inner man. Someone's praying for you that Christ would be real to you. That you would do what you do because of who Jesus is. Not because of a degree, not because of any prestige, not because of any fame or fortune or finances, not because of dreams you have, but because of the person of Jesus. Then lastly, he said, I want you to be rooted and grounded in love and to know how much God loves you. I remember hearing Brother Hiles say from this platform, you can go to places that have more beautiful dormitories than you can. You can go places that have more prestigious buildings than you can. But I hope you never go to any other place you feel more love than you'll feel here. I don't know how you could go someplace. We're not all we ought to be, and we've got a lot of things to learn, but you're a loved people. Far more before you're loved by us, and your mom, your dad, your family, your church, you're loved by God. And God wants you to know how much he loves you. When people have a deep love for God, that's why he said, I want you to be rooted and grounded in love, because the deeper you go in your understanding of how much God loves you, the higher you go in your sealing of commitment to him. Amen. Apostle's prayer for his people, a pastor's prayer for his people, that they would be strong in the inner man. I'm praying that for you. Would you pray that for me too? Number two, that Christ would be real to us. Number three, that we'd be rooted and grounded in how much God loves us and reciprocate that love back to him. Let's pray together, can we? Thank you for listening. Beautiful group of people. Where you are this morning, where you're seated, we're not going to have an invitation as we normally would do. But I pray that you would dedicate yourself, and maybe where you are, say, God, please strengthen me with your might in the inner man. Make me tough on the inside. Would you say to the Lord God, make Christ real to me? May I genuinely love you and know how much you love me. These are prayer requests I think are good prayer requests for me to ask for myself, my precious wife, kids, for you. Father, thank you that there was a man who gave us insight to his prayer life. He said, this is the reason I bow my knees to the Father, of whom the whole family in in heaven and earth are named. That we would be strong, strengthened by your Holy Spirit in the inner man. We would have a real addiction, if you will, a passion that Christ would be real in our hearts and that we would be rooted and grounded in your love and the knowledge of how much you love us. That you would receive glory in the church, both now and forever. Amen. Thank you very much. We appreciate your presence.